Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home. Thanks to the VA home loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
And education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I developed because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Welcome to the podcast from the St. Louis Sportist, an occasionally smart, always irreverent look at sports in St. Louis and beyond. And now, your St. Louis Sportist.
Hello and welcome to a podcast from the St. Louis Sportist. My name is Ron Cook and I am joined by Joe Sperlin.
Good to be here.
Doug Lansdowne.
Glad to be back this week.
And here in the Thunderdome, Keith Farrell.
Cheers, everybody.
Tom Mathis is on assignment. In this edition, the St. Louis Blues are off to an inconsistent start. The Missouri Tigers win ugly and have a big challenge coming up this week. St. Louis City puts the wrap on a disappointing season. The St. Louis Sportists are brought to you by First Coast Steel Buildings. Jason and his team will take your project from design to completion with a family-first approach. Learn more at 1stcoaststeel.com, and we'll hear more from them and Sandra Templeoff later in the show. And tonight's Last Call is brought to you by Black Dog Consulting, LLC, here to help the one truck owner and the small fleet owner to grow and prosper. Contact Dave at 417-217-9622. Black Dog Consulting, helping you retrieve bigger profits. We would like to remind you that we are on X, Facebook, Blue Sky, and Instagram. And if you wouldn't mind giving us a rate or a follow wherever you get your podcast, you have no idea how much that helps us out. Our website is stlsportists.com. And a reminder, on the 30th of October, we are going to have our crossover with the good folks at 4040 Vision, and we are going to talk about the five sports icons of St. Louis. And so Keith and I were talking about that last night at a local establishment while watching the Blues game. Man, that's hard.
Oh, there's just so many crossovers. Different sports, different outside of sport, different impact on sports. Going to be a fun one.
It's the thing that we decided last night is there are going to be some shocking people that are not on this list, and that basically you could have five Cardinals, five Blues, it on and on. So again, please help us out and go to our Facebook page and leave your five all-time St. Louis sports icons. And with that, it's time for quick hits, Joe Sperlin.
You know, baseball, with Toronto making the World Series again against the beloved Dodgers, the Mariners are the only team not to be in the World Series. And I thought, well, I believe that. But then there was four other teams that have never won a World Series. And I know you guys could probably name them off pretty quick because it was pretty easy for me. The Brewers, the Padres, the Rays, and the Rockies. And then there's four NFL teams that have never been to the Super Bowls. But there's 12 that have never won the Super Bowl, and you guys could probably name those off pretty easy, too. So I thought that was kind of interesting. The Mariners have been, what, 40 years?
I think next year, they came in 76, so I guess next year is going to be their 50th anniversary.
Yeah, So, I mean, you're talking about baseball 100 years. So that is kind of surprising. And they've been close a couple of times. So, thought that was kind of interesting.
Heck yes. Doug Lansdowne, what do you have?
I'm going to talk about baseball also. The San Francisco Giants hiring Tony V. So that is, you know, I mean, there's some interesting hires that happen throughout the course of a calendar year, sports year, whatever. But I mean, a guy that's never, ever been to the majors at all and everything. I mean, so spring training, I mean, is Buster Posey going to walk around and introduce him to every person in the complex? Or I'm trying to figure that out. And if you've ever watched him coach a college game, he runs hot. I mean, hot. And I don't know how he can do it for 162 games.
That reminds me of a story that one of my favorites, when Magic Johnson played his first game for the Lakers, Kareem won it with a hook shot, and Magic just runs up and is going crazy. And Kareem says, "Calm down, kid. We got 79 more games."
Is there a prior connection with Posey and that Tennessee coach that we know of? Did he put? Where they crossed paths? And
Not that I saw. I did see that they have, I can't remember what team it was. There's only one other team that has more players in their organization from Tennessee than San Francisco.
Interesting.
So now not all those are, you know, fall within the top 100 prospects and everything. But yeah, they had the second most kids that had played University of Tennessee.
I think if you would have said, "Has this ever happened before?" I may have stopped and went, "Oh, surely it's happened before." No,
can't think.
It hasn't.
No.
And you think about all the other sports that they promote from college, but baseball, the original good old boys club.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if he'll be able to, when they go up against Liam Doyle, if he'll say, "Here's how you hit this guy." I know a little bit about him.
Yeah.
Mr. Farrell?
I'm sticking with baseball as well. It's kind of an odd time to hit the trifecta here, but looks like the Cardinals outfield is already in limbo for next year. Lars Nootbaar had surgery on both of his heels. He's going to be out until June. Well,
that'll fix everything, Joe.
Fix everything.
Fix that rib when they're at it.
Yeah, so for us doing the calendar math, it's going to be early to mid-June before we see, if we see Lars Nootbaar in a Cardinal uniform.
I have to believe that can't help his trade value either.
Oh, God. No. So this is an absolute dumpster fire once again. Season having started from the runway that we've had this year, Mo, thank you so much. We've had Siani, Burleson, Victor Scott, Jordan Walker, Ivan Herrera, Nathan Church. What have we learned? Where do we stand? Burleson's probably the only guy. Burleson's but would you good. Believe that Victor Scott had a better WAR than Burleson?
Fielding.
Yep.
Has to be fielding. Because WAR is funny. That's we won't get my...
What kind of affliction do you have when you have to have both heels operated on?
That's a great it's called Hausberg disease or something like that.
Did you say foul ball disease?
Did you say Heisenberg disease?
Heisenberg.
Foul ball disease?
Yeah. Called I'm stepping toward the first base coach disease when I swing the bat.
Folks, this is the kind of medical analysis you come to the St. Louis Sportus podcast for.
Top notch.
Oh, my. So I'm going to go with make it a clean sweep, and I'm going to talk about baseball too. For baseball.
My goodness.
Quick hits. The good folks at Sports Business Weekly this morning report that MLB expansion has crystallized around six cities, three in the East, three in the West. And in the East, it is Raleigh, which of course would be a Carolina something, Nashville and Orlando. In the West, Portland, who we've heard about, Salt Lake City, who we've heard about, and kind of the new news, Sacramento has said they want an expansion team.
They've got one.
Now that is, of course, assuming that the A's do go to Vegas. And they pointed out that, yes, the The A's are the wild card here because technically you could have a team in Sacramento and then in one of the other places. So really the Western situation's a little bit more up in the air.
Yeah.
But they did talk about the fact that from a scheduling standpoint, having both leagues at 16 teams, 32 teams total will make scheduling, et cetera, travel much easier and better for the major leagues. So nothing on names yet. You know, that's, I'm surprised some teams haven't done that yet.
Oh, that's the next conversation.
I'm sure. And again, if you have ideas for names for any of those teams, please drop those in our Facebook page as well. Keith Farrell, the St. Louis Blues are, it's the best of times and worst of times early. Coach Jim Montgomery frustrated this morning. He said, and he did not look like a happy man. He said, it's the same thing as last year. We're going through the exact same thing as last January, and we're going to have to get it changed. We're going to have to work together. That is how you gain consistency. It's by players holding players accountable. We're not getting the job done right now. I think that's fair.
Yeah, my question about that is, my main takeaway is players holding players accountable. I don't think they have great leadership, veteran leadership on this team, especially with Falk and Parayko on that blue line. I think they're steady players, but I don't see a vocal leadership coming out of them. And I think that puts Schenner on an island.
So a lot on his shoulders as the captain.
So I think that's going to come down to coaching, and Monty better find it, or they better get some new players in there.
That 8-3 game was an abomination, especially against the Black Hawk.
Yeah, that's one of those where you just want to wad up and throw away. That certainly led to Mayu's demotion.
Mm-hmm.
Mayu is a -7 on the year.
For all you plus minus fans.
And Dylan Holloway's a -5.
Ooh.
And, but the other thing too is, you know, I think Monty's holding these guys accountable with playing time. You saw the 2-1 loss, overtime loss to Los Angeles last night, that Snuggerud only played 10 minutes. He's a top line guy. But Snuggs is getting an early message from Monty.
Second time that's happened too.
Mm-hmm. And then you're looking at Kyle Tucker and Matt Kussel, your third line pairing. They're getting less than 10 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. So that's putting more stress on your top pairs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think these things have a tendency to work themselves out, and I think they will, but no one's knows it's going to be easy.
No.
Tough division.
No, and I have seen Tyler Tucker in 2 fights already this year. So
yeah.
I may have been wrong on my fight champion for the Blues. But they are in the middle of a little bit of a homestand. They've got a game tomorrow night, a game Saturday night, about 18 miles from here at the Enterprise Center. So,
yeah,
chance to get right.
Well, that's what I had in my notes, too. The Monty said, hey, listen, we're too happy after wins. We need to go to practices, and we need to get better every day. And guys aren't showing up on time. These guys aren't prepared when they go to practice. Apparently, their passes are pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And that's what I see. That's what everyone sees, that the passes aren't crisp. They're not taped to tape. That slows down your speed game. So, yeah, it looks like Monty at least has identified, you know, yeah, what needs to get worked on. If he stood up there at the podium with his arms up in the air, we'd be in trouble.
It is hard to play North hockey when your passes are going northeast. You know, it just doesn't work. So Joe Spurlin, the University of Missouri Columbia went on the road to Jordan-Hare Stadium and played a classic game for the, no, they won. They slugged one out.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't, maybe it was offensively challenged for a little bit, but I think defensively had a lot to do with that. You kind of sit there and said, if this goes to overtime, I was confident of Mizzou's chances instead of it not going to overtime. I love Drink running off on the field when he thought the field goal was in.
They've replayed that a time or two up here.
Hey, and I think the funniest thing was he was the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, normally you'd get a couple other assistants or somebody or players run, but it was just him.
Joe, it was the same thing as when he asked if he could punt on the kickoff. He thought if he ran out and acted like it was good, that they'd, well, it must have been. The coach thought it was good. So
It was good. It was undecided. So, you know, they got another tough road game this week, but hey, they found a way to win. You know, he caught a little grief for jumping up on the column and doing a little dance up there. And I don't know. I think, he's obviously in it. I always keep saying he's trying to take the Spurrier role, but his delivery on his punchlines are not good. I mean, he tries really hard, but his delivery is not good. I mean, Spurrier's had some good ones. Did you see what he said about Texas?
That was fantastic.
When he was talking about, hey, a big stadium and big, that doesn't matter. All the fans just ask Texas. I mean, so.
Hey, he still got it.
Yeah. But hey, Mizzou got him another win. There you go. Winning on the road.
Again, a road win against an SEC team. Hey, Doug, Hardy was the leading rusher going into that Bama game. Against Bama, he goes 12 carries, 52. Against Auburn, 24 for 58. The sledding's getting a little rougher the more you get into the schedule.
I think that means the SEC has better linemen than the other teams we played.
Better than Central Arkansas?
Yeah, I think the defensive lines they've gone up against are a little bit better than the previous opponents.
Better than UMass?
I know it's easy to play the math game, but if you take away his 17-yard run, he had 23 carries for 41 yards at a 1.78 yards per carry. Yeah. The team averaged 2.1 yards per carry. It seemed like every time they ran the ball, there's an Auburn guy to greet him at the handoff.
Yeah. We saw one because we were at the city match, but we watched just a little, and the Auburn guys were almost beating the Mizzou dudes to the handoff a couple times. And then, of course, we saw Vanderbilt last week just kind of take it to LSU. As one of the LSU people I follow said, Vanderbilt was stronger than us, and I can't believe I'd ever say that. But it was factually correct. So that's what the Tigers are walking into.
It seems if they can contain that quarterback, they can spy that quarterback. 14 or 22 passing, but more impressive, 17 carries for 86 yards. You cannot let that guy beat you.
And that was with some sacks. I mean, one of the things LSU can do is rush the passer. So they got to him. So if you know, in the college statistics where they take the sacks out, so he was actually better than that on straight rushes.
Yeah.
And so College game day is going to be there. Drank sounded miffed. Basically, good for them. And he was attempting to downplay it. And as they were saying on the Mizzou podcast this week, Coach, don't you remember when they were walking around the field talking to you a couple weeks ago and featured you?
Oh, well.
Yeah, he's playing the underdog role, as he probably should.
Mm-hmm. Joe Spurlin, the Florida job is open. You know, as I said in our show notes, another week, another coach or two fired. So 10 open positions out of the 136 Division I, and many other people on the hot seat. We're hearing Kiffin. We are hearing Drink. And then there's a second, or there's like 1, 2, 3. Who's the other one you're hearing down there?
James Franklin. You know,
James Franklin. James Franklin is suddenly hot.
John Gruden.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if I would worry about Sark at Texas if he's playing Mississippi State this week, because isn't Mississippi State like gotten two of them here in a row or three, two of them, I think they said.
They're becoming like the Grim Reaper for coaches.
This is going to kind of take away my last call, but there's going to be people that, you know, as I said, agents are going to be unnamed sources. It's going to get people contracts they probably don't deserve. You know, look at Indiana. That guy got some money and I don't know. Had he done enough? I mean, can he continue doing that? And he may, you know, 2 years and then in 2 or 3 years from now, they'll be talking about what his buyout is. You know, I hate to say this, but I've heard them refer to Drink as he's just another James Franklin. And you're like, oh, gosh, we're getting the name calling here. Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, and one of the things that we have heard, and this goes back to specifically Drink to Florida, which is a rumor that Mizzou people seem to be very offended if you bring that up. But a lot of the coaches are talking about places where you can win a national championship.
Uh-huh.
And Florida obviously is one. And, you know, you can kind of go through just, you know, look at the last 25 years, 30 years. And you're seeing some of those names just pop up over and over and over. And like, if you want to win a championship, there's almost like a finite list of schools, because it's hard to break into that, isn't it, Doug? I mean, it's like,
yeah,
you got to have a really good year.
You need a Heisman candidate. You know, Florida had Tim Tebow last time they won a championship, last I checked. They had a great coach with Spurrier down there. And so it does take something special to break that mold. I think that welcome mat is always out there for a new team. There's no reason why Mizzou can't run with the big dogs. They just need a little bit more. Let us say that much.
Yeah. And, they are getting the NIL investment and obviously the stadium investment. So, you know, maybe all is not lost, Mizzou fans. Doug Lansdowne, the Kansas City Chiefs played one of their best games of the year, but you kind of have to ask yourself at some point, are they that good or are the Raiders just that bad?
You know, that Joe and I have been around high school sports a lot, and I mean, that was the NFL version of the mercy rule.
Yes. It was.
Yeah. They're taking a damn knee with almost 4 minutes left or something like that. And they're not calling their timeouts. And, you know, and all the Chiefs did was hand it off to their fourth string running back in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, that was a beatdown.
If the official would have stepped in and said, by the agreement of both coaches, we have gone to a running clock, Joe, I would not have been surprised.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Or we're going to shorten it down to 10 minutes. The fourth quarter is going to be 10 minutes.
It would have all evened out. No one would have cared.
Goodell to Manfred. Hey, Mr. Manfred, is that a good idea, shortening the clock for the mercy rule?
Yeah, that does sound like a Manfred thing, yeah, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And so, now they get Washington at home and no Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
Correct. So, And Doug, they bring in the number 5 offense and the number 5 defense. They're balanced on both sides of the ball this year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they weren't ready to play against the Chargers. I mean, but the Chargers were really good those first two games till their two good tackles got hurt. Yeah. And then that Jacksonville game, I mean, that was an odd game. But they have certainly looked good, you know, 3 or 4 different occasions now.
They're different with all their receivers back, aren't they, Keith?
They are. Rashid Rice, he's actually a difference maker. He really is. You know, they're running stunts just for him. Just that little flick, that flick to him on that runaround.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's a shame is that, you know, the ball's in the air for about a foot. And Patrick Mahomes gets a forward pass credit out of that.
Who was the guy, Tavon Austin? Remember when he was at West Virginia and he had like 1,000-yard receiving and 500 of those were on those little flip passes in front of him?
Yes. The yaks.
So, meanwhile, in other NFL action, the Broncos spot the Giants 26 points and decide, hey, maybe we should score some points and come back and win. They're not bad.
They didn't win that game. The Giants lost that game.
That's what
the Broncos did not win. The Giants lost that game.
It was. I actually made a statement. We were watching on Sunday Ticket, and I said to Jamie, "And if the Giants can hold this 26-8 lead, yeah,
okay. Yeah, exactly."
So you said it.
Yeah,
he was the guy.
Denver fans, send your hate mail to Ronald C. Cook. No. Aside from that, Joe, anything else around the National Football League that you're seeing that catches your attention?
I think you're starting to find the guys that are going to be the contenders and the pretenders. And if you can stay healthy, I mean, that's it, you know.
Every team is two injuries away from a crisis.
Yeah. Yeah. As I sit there, as you know, as the Ravens can tell you, and the Chargers somehow find a way, and some of these teams that are coming back. So,
yeah. So with our tour of the leagues complete, it is time when we come back from a commercial break here to go to Blue Horseshoes Corner and look ahead to this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. We're getting into late October, so we're getting into some serious matchups here. And we will also take a look at St. Louis City winding their season down. All of this and more when we return on the St. Louis Sportist Podcast.
At First Coast Steel Buildings, we stand out by combining cutting-edge engineering with a family-first approach to customer service. Every building is custom-designed, ensuring a perfect fit for your location and purpose, while our galvanized steel guarantees durability and resilience. Contact Jason and his team at 912-314-4848 or visit their website at firstcoaststeel.com. From fun to practical to industrial, First Coast will provide a custom solution to any building need. From fun projects like a backyard bar or she shed to an industrial storage unit for your business, First Coast has you covered. Visit their website at the number one, stcoaststeel.com or give them a call at 912-314-4848. Discounts for military and first responders.
And we are back on the St. Louis Sportist Podcast. Along with Joe Sperlin, Doug Lansdowne, and Keith Farrell, my name is Ron Cook. And it's time for us to put our prognostication skills to the test. Joe, how are we doing on the year?
That's what I thought. About 500, I'd say. Thank goodness this is just for entertainment purposes.
I am so glad you said that, Joe Sperlin, because did you know that the picks you're about to hear are for recreational purposes only and should not be the basis of any actual wager? If you believe you may have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And with that, it's time for Blue Horseshoes Corner. Take it away, Joe.
I will take a look here. Ron and Keith are doing very well on their college picks. Not so much on the NFL. That's all I'll say.
I don't think anyone can do well in NFL.
No. The NFL is a rigged game, man.
Hey, unless you got a copy of the script. All right. Stipulations say we cannot have all SEC games, so we have to have Illinois at Washington, Ron, which, by the way, this is a conference game. It is not in the Rose Bowl.
But it's right there in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Didn't they play in the Rose Bowl? No, they didn't play in the Rose Bowl.
Washington, not Washington, Missouri, not Washington U, at Washington, the state. Hey, I'm going to tell you.
Washington is beautiful this time of year.
Yeah. Hey, this is the first time they've played since 2014. And I'm going to tell you, Burt is a 15-4 against the spread on the road. Washington minus 4.5, Doug. You're shaking your head. Who are you going with?
I want Washington and the points. I got on the Burt train early and fell off of it, and he ran over me.
Washington minus 4.5, Doug.
Oh yeah, no, No. I'm taking Washington and giving Burt the points.
Keith, what do you think?
Illinois should win, but Washington's going to win by a touchdown.
Okay, Ron.
I agree with Keith Farrell, and if they need any assistance, the ghost of Don James will help the Huskies. And I will never forget when the Rams played the Seahawks there, and John Madden spent one whole quarter talking about how the roof was cantilevered.
Oh.
Okay. Washington, I thought they looked really bad against Michigan, but it was at Michigan, so I'm going to take them at home. That's a long trip. Long trip. All right, let's go to the SEC just because it means more. Ole Miss at OU minus 4.5. Ole Miss's second road game in a row. Now, I looked at this. OU, I mean, here's as I like to say, the teams they've played that are good, Michigan, Auburn, and Texas. Okay? So that's all I'm going to say. As we think about it, Keith, we'll start with you.
I'm going to take Oklahoma. I watched a weak Ole Miss team. I won't say a weak Ole Miss team. I'll say an Ole Miss team that didn't play very well and last week. And I think Oklahoma is going to take it at home. In these type of pick'em games, I usually go with the home team.
Ron, what do you think?
I think that your Uncle Ron warned you last week about the Ole Miss defense, and Kirby Smart was able to clap his way to a lot of points against them last week. So John Mateer is the kind of wild card here. He's back and he's good. OU at home, I would not bet more than a shiny nickel on this game, but I am going to go Ole Miss just because I think Kiffin's the better coach.
Ooh. Ron with the dipsy do right there.
Mm-hmm.
Doug?
I like OU.
I'm going to go with Ron. OU may win, but I think it's a close game, so I'm going to take the points and the 4.5. All right. Texas, -6.5 at Mississippi State. Mississippi State has lost their last three in a row. Texas, I hope they're not looking ahead to Vandy next week. Texas -6.5. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm taking Mississippi State in the points. Texas hasn't done anything on the road. Maybe about 5 minutes of the worst college football I ever watched was the Texas-Kentucky game. I had it in the quad box, not the octo box, the quad box. And I was like, it's like a car wreck. I just have to see how this ends. How many people do they pull out of this car that's still alive?
How many times will the car roll?
Yes. So give me the Mississippi State. Doug?
I'm with you. I like Mississippi State in the points.
Yep, 6.5. If this was, you might recommend buying the half point, but we won't get into that until December 1st. Right, Keith? Go ahead.
You got it. You said.
For those of you that don't understand, that will get edited. Don't worry.
I am going to go with Texas by double digits, low double digits. I think it'll be a 10-11 point win. Only because Mississippi State only has one meaningful win, and that was a win over ASU in week 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got to show me something before you can pull a heavy pick out of me like that.
Okay.
Ron?
In the words of the great Christopher Walken, I got a fever. And the only cure is more cowbell.
There it is.
And then I will also quote our old friend Dennis Green, going into a hostile environment, because Stark Vegas is a hostile environment, and I believe young Manning has struggled in previous hostile environments. He did well in the 50-50 split there at the Cotton Bowl against OU, but I, too, am going Mississippi State.
All right, speaking of hostile environments, Texas A&M. At LSU, A&M -2.5. LSU, a home dog, baby. When was the last time that's happened? Now, they have won, I think I saw 8 straight at home against Texas A&M. Ron, would that sound right?
I have 2. Joe Sperlin, you'll be pleased I did some research on this for you.
Oh, nice.
Texas A&M has never won at Tiger Stadium since joining the SEC.
Yeah, I believe that was right. I think it said they've won 8 straight at home. Texas A&M is 3-11-1 against the spread on the road in the SEC. Give us another one, Ron.
Here's your last one. Texas A&M, since joining the SEC. Now, keep in mind, they won at Arkansas in a, talk about an ugly game. They won by 3 at Arkansas, giving up 42 points to the Hogs.
Yeah.
Texas A&M, since joining the SEC, has won back-to-back road games once.
Huh. So we need, do we need to ask you who you're picking, Ron?
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Doug?
I think all that stuff can be put to rest because I think Texas A&M goes in and wins.
Keith?
Entirely possible.
If the LSU can't beat Vandy, they're not going to beat Texas and A&M.
Oh.
Sorry, Ron. They're still a great top 20 team.
I saw, you guys seen that meme where it's the girl and the guy and yeah. She's like, we're not going to go 8-4 again this year, are we? And he like, kind of, are we?
Ron, I am going to go with LSU. One word, mayhem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
It's for you, April.
Yep. And then we got Mizzou at Vandy. Mizzou minus, or Vandy minus 2.5. I don't know if you guys have heard game day is going to be there for Vandy, not Mizzou. They're not going to talk to anybody from Mizzou.
Are we sure it's not SEC Nation?
Yeah. Two road games in a row. Mizzou's beat Vandy 5 straight. They were lucky to beat them last year.
They were lucky.
Yep. All right, Keith, what do you think?
I got to go with Vandy. Vandy's push. I think Mizzou had 9 tackles for losses and 3 sacks last week. And if Vandy gets that push, they're done. I can't see Mizzou even coming close. I think this is Vandy in a blowout.
Oh, Ron?
So I am going to both infuriate and delight all of my Mizzou friends. I am going to infuriate them by saying, I am sorry, Mizzou fans, but this is a sandwich game for Vandy because you had LSU last week and Texas next week. So, hey, out of those three, I'm sorry, but Mizzou's your not-so-big game. Sorry. However, Mizzou wins. So there you go, Mizzou fans. I'm picking them to win. I'm picking them to win because of the sandwich factor. I think Vandy will be down from the LSU. They'll be looking forward to Texas. They will have been told how great they were the past week. Mizzou comes in and squeaks one out.
Ron picks Mizzou as he insults Mizzou. Good job. Doug, what do you think?
Joy and pain.
Doug, what do you think?
I'm going to bet on Vandy's consultant to the head coach.
That's right.
Jerry Kill. Vandy wins and covers barely.
Huh. It's going to be another sweater, but I'm going to say Vandy. There you go. SEC, it just means, hey, we're already in week 9 of college football. That is amazing.
It's crazy.
We'll be having conference championship games before you know it.
Yeah.
We'll be able to bet on conference championship games.
That's actually correct.
Yeah. With teams opting out?
We'll have to revise our disclaimer. We'll have to have Tom talk to our general counsel again.
Yeah.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All right, let's go to the coin flips. The NFL. We won't talk about the NFL. Hey, Thursday night, Minnesota, which this number surprised me. Minnesota at the LA Chargers. Chargers minus 3.5. This is what I always like to say. Somebody knows something. That was the famous Corso line, too, when you talk about college football. You'd be like, what? How is that not 7? Anyway, Doug, what do you think?
Did you see the meme of Gru from Despicable Me? He was standing there and all the minions were below him, and he was standing there and he had a Colts jersey on. Based on those uniforms the Chargers wore last week.
Oh, yeah.
If Harbaugh's going to let his guys wear those damn uniforms, give me the Vikings.
That's the sound of logic as I've heard on the NFL in a while.
Yeah. Ron, what do you think?
I think the Vikings have, or I'm sorry, the Chargers have to bounce back because the Vikings quarterback situation is just ugly.
Carson Wentz.
Hey, I saw Carson Wentz has never lost a Thursday night NFL game.
Until this week.
Ooh. Yeah. All right. Who you got, Ron? The Chargers?
Chargers.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to say San Diego Chargers for it?
I almost did. The Super yeah. Chargers.
Keith?
Yeah, kind of in the same boat as Ron. I think Minnesota just has way too much, you know, quarterback, you know, dilemmas going on, and I just hope that I hope they can find it here pretty soon because I have their quarterback as a backup on my fantasy team, so I like the kid.
Yeah.
But until they get that quarterback situation figured out, and it's on the road, so you know, I've got to go with the Chargers.
Hey, by the way, if you play fantasy football, this week is brutal with six teams on bye.
Yeah,
awful.
I'm doing the, what is it, contrarian? I was going to go with the Chargers, so give me the Vikings. I have no reason why. I have no reason why. Dallas at Denver, minus 3.5 at Denver. Once again, this is another one I'm sitting there going, 3.5? Okay. Keith, what do you think?
I think the whole team Broncos will cool off Jerry's kids.
Okay. Ron?
CD Lamb is back, and that's going to be the difference. So I am going to take the Cowboys in a road stunner.
Doug?
I'm with Ron.
Let's make it 3. I'm
Dak
with you
looks
too.
Really good.
Yeah. I thought defensively they kind of was looking a little bit better.
Yep.
Even without Michael.
And I could have, I was driving to St. Joe, and when they said I can't even say it, Clowney, I went, ugh. I forgot he's at Dallas, and I forgot there's still 3 or 4 teams paying him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
All right. Green Bay Packers, -3.5 going to the mud hut of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, a 3.5-point home dog, Doug.
I want the dog.
The big dog.
I want the big dog.
The mud hut dog.
Mike Tomlin.
Ron?
The Mud Hut Express rolls back into high gear this week. I have not bet against him all year. Why would I start now? Comeback player of the year, Aaron Rodgers, leads the Steelers to victory. And the other thing is, Jordan Love is regressing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just looking almost shaky at times. So, Steelers.
Keith?
Go black and gold.
Let's make it 4 just because they're at home. And here's another game that I sit there and I go, what? Tampa Bay at New Orleans. Tampa Bay favored -3.5. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay in a number that I sit there. Once again, Ron, just because of that, you'd sit there and say, there's no way I'd bet on that game.
Right. Exactly.
You can't. That's a trap game.
Yeah. Well, and Joe, are they using your Monday night, coming off the Monday night game to penalize the Buccaneers, maybe?
Perhaps. I'm sitting there going, Mike Evans wasn't that big. But anyways, I'm going to go with Tampa Bay. Doug, who are you going to go with?
I'm going to go with Tampa Bay. Big, I think.
Hey, we all picked Tampa Bay last week, and
Baker's pissed after the way he played the other night.
Yeah, Keith, what do you think?
I've got Tampa, Baker magic, and even though there's no Mike Evans, gives an opportunity for someone else to step up. You got a whole week to prepare without him. So,
Ron, what do you think?
You've got to take a stand on some things, and I will have a difficult time betting on Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, he's another one that you sit there and go, he's still quarterbacking them for them. They haven't had the change yet. And I'm looking to see if this line has changed yet. Oh, it has. But at press time, Ron, we're going with the Chiefs at home versus the Washington Generals / Commanders / Redskins.
Oh, Guardians. Remember, I called them the Guardians one week. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Chiefs are minus 10.5 at press time.
I think it could be very close to what we saw last week. Chiefs by many.
I agree. I also agree. Doug, what do you think?
Yes, Chiefs by a lot.
Yeah.
Goodell has already called Banford and asked him about Mercy Rules. Chiefs by a lot.
Yeah.
The rolling.
Washington had dudes getting hurt too, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't want to go to Kansas City.
No.
On a Monday night.
And by the way, no one has picked up on the Native American aspect of this game.
Oh, my goodness.
The protesters out front goodness. Will.
Do you think the Redskin fans, I'm sorry, the Washington fans are kicking themselves for not picking up the tomahawk chop before the Chiefs did?
Of course. Yeah.
That just, I had never had that thought until just now. How did the Redskins miss that?
Yeah.
Because they were too busy complaining about the Redskins.
They have a band.
They do have a band.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It is. And remember, folks, this is all for fun.
All for fun.
If
Thank
you want to bet
Horseshoe.
On the NFL, just donate the money to a good cause.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, Joe, I told you about that article where the universities were like soliciting for NFL money. And the guy said, before you give to spoiled athletes, here's a list of 30 charities that you should consider.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Which one of those teams has a band? Washington?
Yeah. Hail to the Redskins.
All they play is the drums, isn't it?
The drums. Right.
All they play is the drums.
No, in the early days, they had this guy, I want to say it was Tony Zapparo or something, and he led this little band they had.
Yeah, I recall that.
Yeah. But now it's the...
Hank Stram would send over a request. Hey, can you play some Sinatra as he's on the sideline?
65 toss power trap.
There you go.
Doug Lansdowne, can anyone stop the Los Angeles Dodgers?
I don't see how. Not when they're starting pitching pitches like that. Holy cow.
And I was talking to one of our buddies at dinner on Friday night as the Ohtani game was going down, Keith, and I said, that Ohtani game is basically what you do when you're 8 years old in the backyard. I'm going to strike out everyone and hit 3 home runs.
That is a little league game. When your best players, your best pitcher and your best hitter. That was the epitome of Adam baseball right there.
I can't think of a better way to put it.
He's the 6 foot 10-year-old kid.
He
that
is.
Just brings the gas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Ron, I loved your response on the X that someone said the greatest ever, and you said Rick Wise hit 2 home runs and a no-hitter. Take that.
And a no-hitter.
I was like,
and
Ron, a no-hitter. That was good.
I've always thought that game's pretty good. I mean, okay, 10 strikeouts is nice, but a no-hitter and 2 home runs, that's pretty good.
It's pretty darn good.
Yeah. So, but anyway, the Mariners, wow, their storybook comes to an end. And, you know, this is one of those things where in the world of parody, Keith, you never know if someone has a year like the Mariners is like, wow, they had that good year. And like a year and a half, they fire the manager and start trading people off.
Yeah, I think the postseason assessments take place and they ask themselves, how do we screw this up? And I don't know. You just have to go into next year at the same squad. You have to do it. Keep everyone, though. You got to kind of learn how to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what this year was for them.
Speaking of learning, Doug Lansdowne, it appears that Mike Schilt did not learn from his time in St. Louis as things have come out. Sounds like some of the mistakes that led to his dismissal in St. Louis were repeated in San Diego.
It was startling to hear all that stuff, I thought. So, I mean, you guys hear more about it up there than we would down here and everything, but it's funny how it all lined up and looked eerily similar.
You know, Doug, you're right. And the one thing that I think that is every once in a while, you'll get like a plot twist near the end of a David Lynch movie. And the plot twist this regarding Schilt, Keith, was everyone's like, well, Mo, why didn't you say why you let Schilt go? And it turns out Mo was being a good guy by not saying why he let Schilt go.
It was very Cardinal-like. And I have so much appreciation for Mo keeping it in the back room, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these stories get out from front offices, and I got to hand it to the Cardinals. They have a really good, you know, management team up top, and they say, don't leak this.
Mm-hmm.
It's going nowhere. And I so much appreciate them not dogging Schilt on the way out the door.
He doesn't get another job if they let that happen.
How can it not? How can those assistant coaches and the players have to see that? You know, how can that not get out from that angle?
Yeah.
So to me, it's just a bizarre how we're just now hearing about this. But this has been going on for 6 years, and we're just now hearing about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and speaking of managers, it looks like number 5, Albert Pujols, could be coming soon to a dugout near you. Joe Spurlin didn't work out at the Angels, but the Padres or the Orioles. And word is that Yadier Molina could be back in a dugout, too. So some Cardinal fans have said, hey, let's let them get their first job and mistakes out of the way somewhere.
It surprises me that for a team he didn't play for. You know, the Angels ended up hiring the guy that was, like, what, assistant to the GM that played for him for a couple years?
Yeah.
That was in the organization. So, you know, I think if you hire a player, I think it's someone that the fans are going to give a little leeway to. But, I mean, maybe Albert's ready to go.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that came out, we hear rumors occasionally up here, and the one that Keith and I were talking about last night while we were watching the Blues was, Doug, this will blow your mind. They talk about how well Bloom and Marmol get along. Someone has suggested, do you think it's possible they kick Marmol up to general manager? Because let's face it, Bloom's going to need a general manager. He's not going to be managing. He's not going to be going to all those meetings.
Huh. Huh. That's what I said, Doug. Same thing.
Huh. Huh. I don't know.
Do we have any openings we can get him out of the dugout? Well, we do have a GM opening. Okay, let's do it.
It does make you worry a little bit about Yachty, though. I mean, you got to, Yachty has been committed to this organization from day one. Until his last year, he took some time off to go watch his basketball.
Watch the basketball game. Okay? Yeah.
He was going to be a coach in this organization. Yeah, in a pair race. And then he was going to be a coach. And then, well, I might make a guest appearance sometime in my, here and there.
Yep.
Has he gotten that all out of the system? Can he withstand, you know, a losing streak, maybe for a season or two.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the risk. I mean, I don't know. I would love to see the mastermind, you know, pull the strings behind the Cardinal curtain over there, but I just don't know. What a great question though.
Yeah.
It really is about, okay, will Bloom move Marmol to make room for Molina?
Well, and Bernie said that, believe it or not, Bernie Miklas believes that, and I didn't know this, Doug, after the games, when La Russa was here, Pujols would go into his office and say, in the sixth inning, why did you go with person X over person Y? Okay, in the seventh inning, why did you? And they say that Pujols would just pepper La Russa with questions about strategy. And Bernie's like, you know, I know everyone thinks that Yachty's a brilliant guy and he's a brilliant guy, but keep your eye on Albert as a manager.
Hmm.
Huh.
I never heard that side of it.
Did they give Yachty the famous special instructor role where he shows up for spring training and then he hangs around and then they ship him to Florida to work with the rookies and then he comes back for a couple road trips and then he goes somewhere else. What is it? Oh, no. The roving instructor.
Roving instructor. There
the
you go.
Roving
he
minor league instructor.
He can rove down and watch his basketball team.
You can rove anywhere around the country.
Yeah. I'm rolled back down to the island, baby.
Hey, Yachty, as long as you, like, instruct a guy for a couple innings, you can spend time at your basketball team.
Yeah.
So, Joe, it's very funny that you say that, because one of the titles they talked about bringing him back under was a catching coach.
Yeah. Why not?
And they said, you know, would that be enough for him? And then they said, okay, or is that like Stalin being the general secretary when he's, in fact, you know, the president? So, okay, I just kind of made that up. They got enough catchers,
don't they, Doug? He can work
with
all of them.
They got enough catchers.
Oh, dear Lord, yeah.
Yep.
I tell you, we're becoming what the Expos were when they played all outfielders except for Chris Spire.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, we could keep on the Cardinals for a while, but Keith, we need to do a very brief, like one of our famous minute and 30 seconds on City. 2-2 draw against Real Salt Lake in the pouring rain.
Timer.
Luna is looking more and more like Guy Fieri on the soccer pitch every time I see him. He got a yellow that could have been a red. Anyway, City finishes 8-18-8. Joe, that's not so good.
8-18-8. It's probably not good if you have more ties than wins, is it?
it's not optimal. And because of that, they finished ahead of only the LA Galaxy and Kansas. Kansas finished last. Couldn't happen to a nicer group of people.
Well, anytime you end the season with a losing record, not making the playoffs, more questions than answers, kind of like the Cardinals. A new coach and a new sporting director at the end of the season. And we are celebrating draws. Yeah, that's not a good season. All right.
We didn't lose.
We saw glimpses of a pretty good team that didn't hang with any team in the league. But we just weren't able to find an ounce of consistency with any lineup that we threw out there. You know, we just had awful issues scoring. Early part of the season, we had major issues closing out games midway through the season, and we kind of found somewhat of a stride at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Would like to have had that in the beginning of the season, but you have to trust the soccer minds on Market Street. I have no idea where to begin to reconstruct this roster, but if you ask me, you look at your highest paid players that are not producing. And he start there.
Yeah, and we talked about Henry Kessler a little bit. You know, we thought he was going to step in and be Tim Parker 2.0, and he was the Invisible Man, which is a regrettable series on NBC in the late 70s starring David McCallum, who was
short
Napoleon Solo.
You don't want to be called the Invisible Man on the pitch.
No, you don't. So I think that's a minute and a half on St. Louis City, as cued by Blue Horseshoe himself. Yeah. It's time for the last call, brought to you by Black Dog Consulting. Black Dog LLC is here to help the one truck owner and the small fleet owner grow and prosper. Dave has 37 years of experience, 4 million plus miles. He has experience with flatbed, step deck, overdimensional dry vans, and refrigerated units. He also has experience with dispatch, brokerage, back office, and as a shop manager mechanic, he grew the last fleet he managed from one truck to five with a yearly gross revenue of $3.7 million. If this is the growth you are looking for, contact Dave at 417-217-9622 or oldblackdog0523@gmail.com. Black Dog Consulting, helping you retrieve bigger profits. Joe Sperlin, you have gone through about five different last calls. What are you finally settling on?
I'm still going to stay with that same last call. Hey, it's going to be an interesting time in college football when everybody's going to promote their guy. Or I have not talked with Team A, Team B. Well, of course you haven't. Your agent has. Teams are going to be spreading rumors about this coach leaving, their coach leaving, to steal players. I mean, it's going to be a crazy, wild time in college football. You got Gruden in the picture. Jimbo has thrown his name back out there. Gus made the comment of, I don't know what's going on. I'm just the offensive coordinator. And a certain line coach that was formerly at LSU, Ron, go ahead. Let's hear it.
I'm ready to get back in coaching.
There you go. So, it is going to be a crazy time. People sitting there My favorite are the guys that do the flight numbers.
Oh yeah, you gotta track those tail numbers. The tail numbers.
A private jet has taken off from Oxford and has flown to Gainesville.
Yeah.
You know.
So Joe, I've got a question, and both, you know, actually everyone can chime in on this one. But for those who listen to this podcast and they will hear about coaches communicating with schools through back channels. Joe, how does a back channel work in the world of college coaching?
The agent will do all the talking, or they will tell school A or this player or that person at this school, hey, if there was a job at opening, I think I know a guy that would be interested in that. So
they just call up the athletic director or CEO, as the case may be in some schools.
Yeah, the CEO, they know somebody that knew somebody that told them that this guy was interested. It goes through the, hey, it's kind of like, and I'll just use this term loosely, it's like the transaction of the bag guy.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Cam Newton has no
very a very covert operation, almost the exact same thing.
You know, I always think of anyone who ever watched Friday Night Lights, the booster buddy Garrity, who would want to, hey, Eric, have a beer with me. You know, Eric. And then what would you think about that? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
I was at a Florida State football game, and the guy that went to Oregon, he plays for the Giants now, defensive end. He was he was the number one player at the time. And they were recruiting him. Well, he's sitting there and he has a big backpack on. And we're sitting there and finally someone says, hey, I thought the only backpacks you could bring in the stadium had to be clear. And we said, yeah, how come that bag's not clear? And I looked at them all and I said, because it's full of money. Yeah. I cannot confirm that, but he was the only one that didn't have a clear backpack. And he
called it his wallet.
Yeah. But he went to Oregon.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yes. I wanted to send someone up to go up and bump him to see if he automatically grabbed his backpack.
We won't get into Cam Newton's father being the pastor of a church and things you put in the offering plate either.
Rob, we say it all the time, the Eric Dickerson story is the best one ever.
How could they be mad at him? Hey, yeah. You didn't honor your bribe. Yeah. Oh, Doug Lansdowne, what do you have?
I'm going to follow that up, too. I was going to talk about college football coaching and just the crazy, crazy money and stuff. You know, it got me thinking about James Franklin. You know, he made the tour this last week. He was on everywhere talking to everybody. And so, you know, Penn State's going to buy him out and they'll do the coaching search and everything. So they're going to spend, and we all know James Franklin never could win the big game. However, mm-hmm. Penn State's going to spend $62 million for one more win. So $60 million is going to buy you one more win. So the money is just, you can't comprehend it.
Well, Doug, I'll bring this up too. Florida State made the comment that they were going to wait on Norvell till the end of the year. Well, someone come out with a report that it'll cost $50 million to get rid of him. And another $50 million to hire a new coach and new staff. So not only is it getting rid of him, but it's going to cost them $100 million to get rid of him.
Right.
And supposedly the story is Florida State's trying to figure out how they can get all this money by the end of the season. That's why they're not pulling the trigger now.
I think of Senator J. William Fulbright of Arkansas in the early 70s, who said a million here and a million there, and pretty soon you're talking real money. You could almost say $100 million here and there.
Yeah. Yep.
Mr. Farrell.
Yeah. You know, I was looking, browsing around a few sites on some sports sites, of course, and saw that our Lindenwood Lions hockey went had a split series against the University of Denver.
National powers.
So I did a little bit of a deeper dive. So I had a brief stint up in in Duluth, Minnesota, and kind of got familiar with some national powers. So did a little deeper dive into Lindenwood hockey. This is their third season as D1. So looked at their schedule. They got swept their first weekend series by former national champ, University of Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Badger Bob Johnson.
They swept, the following weekend, they swept former national champion, Lake Superior State. They split a series against last year's national champion and 10-time national champion, Denver University. If you look at their upcoming schedule, they have the University of Maine, former national champion, and they play the University of Minnesota at Duluth.
Yeah.
Another former national champion. These are guys on these teams that are future NHL players.
Absolutely.
And for us to have this gem sitting in our backyard and for us not to go catch a game here and there. I looked at their roster. This coach, he's dragging all these players down from Canada. And he's dragging these guys. They're getting an opportunity to play on a major, you know, scouts are going to be everywhere. This is some really cool stuff. I think I found a new hobby. I got to catch a game on a Saturday.
Well, and not to mention that, but I mean, you know, St. Louis since the early 90s really has been putting out some major talent. Mm-hmm. I mean, whoever said that the Kachucks could have a reality show, I totally agree with.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that would actually be a hoot to go up and go to one of those games. Yeah.
And there are two games a weekend.
Wow. Well, so I have heard that there is potential labor strife coming to the WNBA, Douglas. they are upset with the percentage of revenue that they are getting. That's where it breaks down, because the NBA players get a substantially higher percentage of revenue than the WNBA. But never fear, because you know what is coming soon? Oh, it's a Women's Professional Baseball League. Starting this year in Boston, Los Angeles, New York, and San Francisco, you will have four cities in the Women's Professional Baseball League. And those cities were chosen because of their fan support, market size, media presence. And they will begin play in 2026, the first active professional women's baseball league since the 40s. Now, I didn't know this. They had tryouts in August in Washington. The top 100 players, including former Little League star Monet Davis. Remember her? She was the one that was striking out all the dudes. Yeah, she's going to be in the league. And the top 100 players are eligible for the draft. Four teams, 15 players. They have not done a regular season schedule yet, but they are going to have an all-star game, playoff. Wouldn't everyone make the playoffs?
I would hope so.
I hadn't thought about that. So this is just something to have out there in case you know, if the NBA or the WNBA is suddenly not available, never fear. There will be women's baseball coming soon. As soon as next year, Keith Farrell.
Can't wait.
I know. Get your merch. Get your merch. We want to thank you all for listening to this episode of the St. Louis Sportist Podcast. And with that, Joe Sperlin, thank you, sir.
Sorry, I had to enjoy my Andes, my pumpkin pie concrete this time of year.
Oh,
that's about the only time I get Andes. So,
hey, we need to get a sponsorship with them.
Yeah.
No, we need a sponsorship.
Yes.
Doug Lansdowne. Enjoyed it.
Yep. Great to be back this week. Enjoyed it.
Mr. Farrell.
Always nice to sit down with the fellas.
And we will catch up with you next week on the St. Louis Sportist Podcast. Until then, take care.
And that wraps another episode of the St. Louis Sportist Podcast. Please like and subscribe to stay up to date on all the latest episodes. You can find these guys on all major podcast platforms. And thanks for listening.